still have your Christmas decorations up at your house. We have about half of them up. We're still working on it. We were gone for a few days, so trying to get back and recover from that. But they're gone in the church, so it looks a little bare. And so it always feels a little bit empty after that. And for you OCD people, everything's back in its place to where it's supposed to be. And I say you, I should say we. And so good to have you here this morning in church. We're going to be in John chapter number 3. Do you mind putting the clock on the back there? For the screen there. Oh, we're off. All right, there we go. John chapter number 3. And as you turn there, we're going to look at our basic training lessons. As we begin this year, I'll give you some more instruction on that in just a moment. But I want to tell you a story. My wife read this to me the other day, and I feel like there's a good analogy and a moral story that we're supposed to learn with this. And I'm not exactly sure, but I think as we start the new year, this might be applicable. The story reads that someone wrote, and I think they put it on Facebook, and everything's true on Facebook, so it must be true. It says, I woke up and Zoe, their dog, is laying on the back patio covered in dirt with a rabbit in her mouth. The rabbit's not bloody, just dirty. My neighbor's kids raised rabbits. I instantly knew it was one of theirs, so I took the rabbit away from Zoe, rushed inside, washed all the dirt off it before my neighbors could come home. It was stiff, but I heard that some animals play dead and they're afraid, but I couldn't remember which ones. So I took it and placed it in one of the cages in their backyard, and I zoomed back home. Not 30 minutes later, I hear my neighbors screaming, so I go and ask them, what's wrong? They tell me the rabbit died 3 days ago and they buried it, but now it's back in the cage. I don't know what that means from last year for you. Maybe there's something you buried last year you don't want to come back up and the dog's going to bring to you. But I was thinking that's pretty funny. And so the rabbit came back to life. Not really, back in the cage. I don't know what to say about that. We had dogs growing up, but they were always outdoor dogs. You know, they never came indoors, and they were to clear stuff off the property and keep things away. And I'd go and visit my grandparents, and they had a dog named Shiloh. And that dog would hide anything. It would hide your shoes. And so if you left your shoes outside, we'd go there in the summertime for a week or two, and my cousin and I, we'd work for them and just spend some time with them. But you leave your shoes outside, they'll bury your shoes. He'll take it, bury him, you know, you can't find him. And I forget what my grandpa would do, but I think he would hide the dog's toy. And if he did that, the dog would then go and unbury your shoes to try to get the toy back. So they had this back and forth game going. I'm not exactly sure, but we lost a few shoes in the meantime. Our basic training lessons for this year, going back to the foundational truths of our Christian life. We begin the first 8 weeks of every year with basic training lessons from all of our teen and adult Sunday school classes, and go back to the foundations of the Christian life. So we're going to cover those over these next 8 weeks. We'll cover a number of foundational subjects of the Christian life. Today will be about salvation, and then we'll be about the subjects of Bible and prayer and the church, soul winning, witnessing, telling people about Jesus Christ, lessons on tithing and giving, and about marriage and the family. So the next 8 weeks, I encourage you to be here every service, but the next 8 weeks, especially for Sunday school, to make sure the foundational truths in your Christian life, that basic training, that you have those foundations built in your life based on the Word of God. Amen? That your life is built on the foundation of the Word of God. You can never get enough Bible training, enough Bible instruction, enough Bible knowledge. We are trying to grow and to be more and more like Jesus Christ. If you think of a tall building, I was here for part of the building process of these buildings and got to see pictures being done. It was started in the process before I moved here. But seeing the building being built, and you don't start with the top of the building, you start with the foundation. And you lay those footers down and your foundational pieces and the slab, and you build up from there. And if you don't have a good, strong foundation, well, the building's just not going to last. You see in third world countries, and sadly to say, but natural disasters happen. And many times in the third world countries, they don't have all the building codes that we have. Not that I'm a proponent of more building codes, but many times that, you know, earthquakes or floods or something come and it washes away buildings and crumbles because the foundation's not strong. Well, many times in our lives that as Christians, we don't have the foundational truths built in our life on the Word of God. So when the storms of life come, or someone comes to give you their opinion, you read an article, you get a podcast, I want to warn you about what you read and who you listen to and who you follow. It's amazing how quickly someone gets your ear and all of a sudden it changes your path in your life. And if your foundation is not built on the Word of God, well, your life changes. And when our life is not built on the foundation of the Word of God, well, it's going to crumble. You know, and the Bible talks about the wise man, the foolish man. The wise man built his house on what? On the rock of Jesus Christ. He is that foundational, that corner piece, the chief cornerstone, the Bible says, of our lives. And when you do that, when the storms come, your life stands strong. But that foolish man, he built his house upon the sand. And it maybe went quicker and went a little bit easier, and maybe other people were jealous it was done so quick. But when the storms came, his house fell flat. I want to challenge you about building your foundations, your beliefs, on the Word of God. Never base your beliefs on your own thinking, your own feelings, and your own heart. How many people think, well, I just think this is the truth? Who cares if you think it's the truth or not? Everyone has an opinion. It doesn't make it the truth. That's our opinions and our thinking, right? But also, never base your beliefs on the words of another person, no matter how smart they sound or how convincing they may seem. Don't base, you know, oh, that sounds really good. Someone has a cute phrase or a podcast and they put some money. Oh, I must listen to them. Base your beliefs on the Word of God. Everything in our lives should have a Bible foundational principle, Bible verse that you can say, this is why I do it based on the Word of God. Everything. Not some things, everything. Why? Because the Bible came from God, not man. Right? If my beliefs come from man, well, man's opinion changes all the time. All the time. Or you get opinion from here and here and here, and it's all, who has the truth out there? Well, God is a truth, and it's found in the Word of God. The Bible, it came from God. The Bible is perfect. Man's opinions aren't perfect. Our heart and our feelings are not perfect, but God's Word is perfect. That's why I can base my beliefs on the Word of God. The Bible never changes. The world is constantly in a state of change. It's always evolving, changing, and digressing. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. The Bible is our guidebook for life. Everything in my life, I should go back to the truth of what does the Bible say? See, it's not good enough to say, well, that's what my church believes and practices. I believe you should go to a good Bible preaching church, amen? Which I believe should be a Shasta Baptist church. But number two, you can't just say it's not good enough because of what my church believes and practices because you don't live here. If you do, we're... You know, maybe that's where all the lights are getting left on at times. I'm not sure. But it must be personal to you in your life that you have that belief, that practice based on the Word of God. We're going to look at some foundational truths about our basic training and Bible doctrines. A doctrine is just simply Bible teaching. We're going to look at the Bible training, the Bible teaching and doctrine of salvation today. John 3:16, we'll read a few verses this morning. John 3:16 to verse number 18, would you follow along? You may think, I already know this. Well, let's make sure we have it settled. Let's make sure we don't sway from the truth because our flesh is wanting to go the opposite direction. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But many times we start all of a sudden we become smarter than God. Sometimes, and we start getting away from the truth. Let's make sure our foundation of salvation is correct in our lives. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:16 must be the greatest verse in all the Bible. Must be the most quoted, most put on signs of anywhere. that God so loved the world, sent his only begotten Son. He gave him that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The foundation of this of salvation in your life. I want to look at this in somewhat of contrast to popular false truths about salvation. Possible false teaching that you'd hear from other churches and your own heart, opinions maybe. I want to look at some truths today, and basing on the Word of God, what is biblical salvation? Let's look at a few today. Number one is this: Jesus is the only way of salvation. Amen? Jesus is the only way of salvation. Not one of the ways, not the best way. He is the what, church? Only way of salvation. That's important. I was witnessing to a young man one day, and he had grown up with a false religion. I don't remember what it was. And I was giving him the gospel, and I remember him, you could tell he was at a pivotal point where he was thinking, do I believe that this is the way of salvation, or do I believe that how I was raised in this false teaching, that's the way of salvation? And I came to a point, I don't always do this, but I said, you must believe that Jesus is not one way to heaven, but the only way to heaven. Do you believe that? And I remember he stopped right there, and he thought for a moment, and he went, yes, I believe that. And I said, would you like to right now trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? See, to say that Jesus is the only way to heaven is to reject every other way. Right? I know it's exclusive. It's exclusive. It may seem that he is the only way to heaven, but that is available to all. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is the only way to heaven. John chapter 14, verse 6. If you'd like to turn to these verses, you may. And I'm going to read them and kind of go quickly through them. The doctrine of salvation is a simple truth, but there is much to cover on it. John 14, 6. You know the verse, I'm sure. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look at the next two words. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I'm the way. He is the only way to heaven. It's a one-way street. You ever gone the wrong way on a one-way street in an accident? You drive to a place you're not used to, and all of a sudden you're like, oh no, cars are coming at me. Going downtown, sometimes like, okay, I'm allowed to turn left here, right? I just want to make sure. I'm looking at the signs. I see a yellow line in the middle. I can go left here. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Amen? He's not one of the ways. Hey, we have this modern thinking where churches say, let's all get along. You have your thoughts, and we have our thoughts, and we have our God and our way of salvation. And it doesn't matter what religion you practice and what God you pray to and what your way of salvation is. It's all good. Well, is that the truth? No, it's not. False religions are sending people to hell more than any other thing. People that have good intentions, they're sincere, and they're religious people, go to church every week, and they pray, and they're good people. But a false religion, believing in another God, another way of salvation, will send you straight to hell. Acts chapter 4, verse number 8, it says this, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. See, every other so-called God is dead and in the grave, right? Every other God, so-called God, is in the grave. They're sinners, just like you and me, whoever started a religion or set themselves or someone else as God, and they profess that that's the way to heaven. Well, it's not, because Jesus said he is the only way, and there is salvation in no other. He is the only way to heaven, not one way, the only way. There is no other God that saves. There is no other way to heaven but by Jesus Christ. It's very important for us to understand. Again, in today's day and age, it's so much of wanting to just kind of hold hands with everyone and let's all get along. I'm not saying we want to fight with everyone, but I will say we did go and capture the Venezuelan president in the middle of the night the other night. I woke up the next morning and went, what in the world happened while we were sleeping last night? And I love it how all the Venezuelans are cheering and all the liberals are protesting. That might say something. Jesus is, I don't know how that got in today, but it was going to get in today somehow. Jesus is the only way to heaven. I literally have no idea how I got to that point. But point number two, salvation is by faith, not by works. Salvation is by faith, not by works. Going back to false religion, every false religion, every false church, every false Bible professes a works salvation. Not some of them, every single one of them. I challenge you to find a false religion that is complete faith in Jesus alone, not adding any works to it. You ever talk to someone in a false religion and you're like, man, I know that they profess a works salvation, but it seems that they're only saying it's by faith alone. And I'm like, I know what your church teaches and practices. I pray that they have it right. Jesus is the only way of salvation, and salvation is by faith, not by works at all. See, false religions, they claim a works salvation. If you repeat this prayer over and over, if you pray a prayer, you know, you do the rosary beads or the cards or pray with your necklace, whatever it is, if you say a prayer, we must be careful. We must be careful that we are not just getting someone to repeat a prayer and telling them that that's the way of salvation. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There must be faith and repentance to have salvation. It's not just saying a prayer. Like you could go all around the world and tell people, would you say a prayer? Would you say a prayer? Repeat after me. A prayer doesn't save somebody, right? It's faith, calling out to God, repenting of sin, and realizing He is the only way to heaven. Works, repeating a prayer, getting baptized. Many religions will say, well, you must get saved, yes. Oh, but you also have to get baptized. Well, that's a work, right? That's a work. I'll always tell them, well, what about the thief on the cross? He got saved and he never got baptized. I talked to a man one day. He was very determined about his beliefs and that you must get baptized to be saved. And so what about the thief on the cross? And he said, well, God made an exception for him. No, God doesn't make exceptions. Everyone gets saved the exact same way. And if you have to get baptized, well, then the thief on the cross isn't going to heaven. But Jesus did say to him one-on-one, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He just simply said, I believe you're the Christ. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. People think, well, you've got to tithe. You've got to give your money to the church. And you've got to give to the poor. You've got to tithe. Giving your money is not going to save you. And if it did, you don't have to come to church. You could just give your money. Just send it in. You can tithe. Now, I'm not against someone tithing. I'm all for it. We'll get to that lesson in a few weeks. But tithing, giving your money, isn't getting anyone to heaven. Joining a church isn't getting anyone into heaven. Growing up in a good home isn't getting anyone to heaven. Well, my dad was a pastor. My mom was a son. That's not going to get anyone into heaven, right? It's by faith, not by works. Turn over to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. To me, the greatest verses proving that salvation's by faith, not by works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If as a soul winner, and every one of us should be, these are verses I believe that every soul winner needs to have marked or memorized because it's so important with addressing false beliefs in regards to works for salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this, for by grace are you saved through what, church? Faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of what? Works. Thus any man should boast. So it is by faith, not by works. Very clearly, right? You can't re-explain Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and many other verses in Scripture. I know that we won't have time to go into it. Many will look at verses, take them out of context and say, so you have to have works to go to heaven. No, they're taken out of context, all right? For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by faith, not by works. It is a gift. The greatest example of faith for salvation, not works. Many times over, God gives us the example of salvation is a gift. It's a gift. A gift is given to you for free, paid for by someone else. It's a gift. If you have to pay for it, it's not a gift anymore. We just got through Christmas time. How many of you received a gift and someone told you, now you have to pay for it? Now, maybe they left a tag on there and forgot to cross it off. You know, the person that forgets to do that, like on every gift, every holiday. But you know, you get a gift and someone said, you got to pay for it now. And you went, oh, thank you, I guess. I have to pay you back. That's not a gift anymore. See, God said salvation is a gift. You don't have to turn there, but Galatians 2:16 says this, knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. You know why? Because none of us will be perfect. None of us will be good enough in God's eyes. If, okay, let's say works get you to heaven. Well, you can never sin once in your whole life then. You must be perfect. Anyone in here perfect? Never a wrong thought, never a wrong action, never a wrong word, never a wrong motive. Anyone at all? No, so then none of us are good enough. If works get you to heaven, we are all sunk. We're all lost. But I'm thankful it's by faith. Salvation, listen to this carefully. Salvation is 100% by faith in Jesus alone, his death, burial, and resurrection. 100% faith in Jesus alone. 0% faith in me and good works. Listen to this. If you put 99% of your faith in Jesus as your way to heaven, and you put 1% of faith in your good works of some sort, that is no longer salvation. Listen to that carefully. If at the moment of your salvation you believe, I need to believe in Jesus, but I need to not do this, or I won't be saved. That's not salvation anymore. Then you did not put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful I don't have to be good enough to go to heaven because I'm not good enough to go to heaven. Right? But I'm thankful that he was good enough. Amen? That he is perfect. He is the perfect sacrifice to pay for our sins. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Number two, salvation is by faith, not by works. Number three, no one can lose their salvation. Amen? Two passages I want you to turn to. John chapter 10 and then 1 John chapter 5. You don't have to memorize both of those, but turn to John chapter 10. I want you to look at what the Bible says. No one can lose their salvation. If at the moment you trusted in Christ as your Savior, you believed you could lose your salvation, well, then you now have a work salvation. Right? You said, oh, I believe in Jesus, but now that I'm saved, I have to go to church every Sunday. Well, that's works. That's no longer salvation. Well, I can no longer do this or I'll lose it. That's not salvation then. John chapter 10, verse number 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them, what's the next two words? Eternal life. Not conditional life. Not as long as you fill in the blank. Instead, I give unto them eternal life. And they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I use this illustration. I didn't bring a pen with me, but I have my key here. But I give this illustration. I would to young people especially. But the Bible says that when you get saved, he gives to you eternal life. He gives it to you. It's a gift. It's yours. But he says when he gives it to you, he said, I give unto you eternal life, and you shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You're safe in the hands of God. Is there a greater place to be? You're not safe in the hands of the church. You're not safe in your own hands or in the government's hands. You're safe in God's hands, eternal life. He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. And then he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I say this, you're in a death grip by God. Once you're saved, he will never let you go. Amen? He said, I give to you eternal life. He didn't say, I give you salvation until you do something really bad. I give you eternal life until you walk away from me. Well, guess what? At some point, we all walk away from him. At some point, we all fail. At some time, I don't keep my end of the bargain, so to say. But he gives eternal life. I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Both of these passages are my favorite passages, confirming the doctrine of eternal security. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can never lose it. You could read all of 1 John chapter 5, but we'll read 1 John 5, starting at verse number 13. It says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." Okay, who's he addressing? Those that believe on the name of the Son of God, we call what? Christians, right? Those that are saved. You believed on the name of the Son of God. It says this, that ye, who's it referring back to? Those that are saved, those that are believing. That ye may, what's the next word? Know. Not hope, not think so, not be working towards getting saved. That ye may know that you have eternal life. Not that you're going to get eternal life someday. That you what? That you have it. Right? You have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Again, I'm not like, oh, I hope I said everything just right. Well, no one can say a prayer just right to please God. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone that he's the only way to heaven, that he has given you eternal life and you have it. You don't get eternal life when you die. You don't get eternal life when you go to heaven. You have eternal life at the moment you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have eternal life. Look at the next verse. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." Christian, once you're saved, you're always saved. If you believed at the moment of salvation, well, I could lose my salvation someday. Well, that's not what works salvation. But once you have it, you'll never lose it. Now, some think, I get to do whatever I want. You're a child of God, and God will chastise and punish his children when we walk away from him. He'll never kick you out of his family. Amen? Once a child of God, you're always a child of God. He will never disown you. There's nothing you and I could do to ever lose salvation. Could we lose the favor of God, the blessings of God, the closeness of God? Oh, yes. I could lose that closeness with God, but you'll never lose that relationship that you are a child of God. So number one today, Jesus is the only way to heaven. Number two, salvation is by faith, not by works. Number three, no one can lose their salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Number four, God wants everyone to go to heaven. Amen? For God so loved the world, the what? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Not just for the Jewish people, not just for the generation that was at the time where Jesus Christ was born and died and rose again, not just for certain generations or times or races or genders. He died for the whole world, past, present, and future. God wants everyone to be saved. Calvinism says, well, God chose some to go to heaven and some to go to hell, and you didn't have a choice. That is a doctrine straight out of the pit of hell. You had nothing. It says this, you have nothing to do with your salvation. God said before you were born, well, you're going to be saved and you had no choice in it. And for others, it says, well, you're going to hell and you have no choice as well. No, that's not what the Bible says. You know what the Bible says? Whosoever, amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calvinism says, well, whosoever of the ones that God already chose. No, stop trying to redefine the Bible, right? When God says whosoever, it means whosoever. The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This does not mean that everyone is going to go to heaven. Some people think that, well, we're all a child of God. No, not everyone's a child of God. We're all a creation of God. We've all been made by God in the image of God. But a child of God is someone that's been born again, saved and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you are born into the family of God. Amen? At the moment of salvation. Not everyone's going to heaven. People think, well, you know, we're all going to heaven. We're all a child. We're all going to heaven someday. No, those that are saved go to heaven. Those that accept Jesus Christ go to heaven. Those that reject him, the Bible says, will go to a place called hell. Romans chapter 10, verse number 10, it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, praise the Lord. For the same Lord who over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'm thankful for that whosoever principle, that God died for the sins of the whole world, and all that call upon him, he hears that prayer. He forgives the sin. God wants everyone to go to heaven. Number five, we'll end with this today. Everyone gets saved the same way. We started there and we'll end there. Everyone gets saved the same way. You ever run across people before and say, "Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're a child of God, a Christian?" You say you're a Christian. That's a very general term today. I don't encourage you to ask someone if they're a Christian. But do you know that you're saved, that you're going to heaven, you're born again? And wait to hear their response, right? And get ready for a vast variety of responses that you're going to hear. Many times what you're going to hear is either works for salvation or experience for salvation. Experience. You know, "Oh, I went through a tragic car crash and I thought I was going to die and God saved me in that car crash." And I think, but when did you get saved? "Oh, God saved my life right there." Okay, God saved your physical life, but what about your eternal life? Some would say, "Oh, you know, one day I was praying and I saw a bright light." I remember the very first rescue mission I went to, I went with Pastor Johnson. I think it was just me and him. I think it was the first one. I was super naive. Never been to a rescue mission service before. And he preached, and I was there when Pastor Johnson sang a solo at the rescue mission. I got to be a part of that. And afterwards, we had the invitation, and he said, "If you don't know you're saved, well, why don't you come out and we'll explain the plan of salvation to you." And he took someone here, and I took a man over here. And this was the old rescue mission here by the street, not the one that's up the road, the newer one. And we stood there in front. I remember as clear as day talking to this man. I did not know. He was out of his mind. I had no idea. And he told me that one day he saw Jesus, and he was like Superman. That's what he told me. I'm not lying. And he said he was this small, and it came right into his eyeball. And I went, "They didn't teach me about this in Bible college. I don't know what to say about Jesus like Superman." And I was like, "Oh, I've got nothing, right? Lord, help me." But people have, you know, that sounds silly, but people have experience for salvation, right? Experience. Salvation, there is an experience, right? Right? The day that I got saved, that was a wonderful experience. But it must be on the foundation of the principles of the Word of God of what is salvation. People say, "Well, I was about to die and God healed me." And you hear people, "I died 7 times and I was brought back to life. I know I'm going to heaven." Okay, God spared your life, but what about your soul? "Oh, I grew up in church my whole life." How about this one? "I've always known that I'm saved." I've always known that I'm saved. No. No one has always been saved. There's a time where you have to admit, "I was lost. I was a sinner, and then I trusted in Jesus Christ." Or people that say this, "I'm sure I settled it somewhere along the way. I'm sure I settled it somewhere." No. Born again. John chapter 3. We didn't read the verses there. Look back again. Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He says that she must be born again. You weren't born physically on some day. You were born one day. You weren't born in some random place. It was one place at a specific time, and you were born into your physical earthly family. Same thing with salvation. You are born spiritually into the family of God one moment, one time, putting your faith in Jesus Christ, and you are born into the family of God. As we conclude today, I want to give you another verse and then ask you a few questions. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Examine yourselves. You say, "I've been saved 50, 60 years. I've been saved maybe 1 year." Maybe you say, "I don't even know that I'm saved at all." examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Would you say, I know 100% sure that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven? Not 99% sure, not even 99.9. Do you know 100% sure, based on the Word of God, that you have eternal life? Do you know it? I want to ask you a few questions and we'll finish with these thoughts today. At the moment of your salvation, can you go back to that day and time in your mind for a moment? Maybe you were a child. Maybe you were at home. Maybe you were at church. Maybe you were in your car, at home, whatever it may be. Go back to that day and time that you put your faith in as a day and the moment of your salvation. I'm not trying to get you to doubt, but the Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You know, the Bible says many in that day will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and done many wonderful works and cast out devils? And Jesus will say to them that trusted in all the works, he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Do you know for sure that you're saved? I'm not trying to get you to doubt, but go back to that day of salvation. Ask yourself this question. Did I or did you know that you were a sinner? I remember as a 9-year-old boy, I said, I know that I'm lost. I knew that I was a sinner. Did you know at the moment of your salvation? Because no one's good enough. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did you know that you were a sinner? Number two, did you understand the punishment for sin was hell? I remember that night laying in bed thinking this. I can remember as clear as day. If I died tonight, I know that I would go to hell. I knew that. As a 9-year-old boy, if I don't trust in Jesus Christ, I thought I had to be in church to get saved. I don't know why I thought that, I just did. And you don't have to be in church anywhere, anytime, any place. God will save us all. But I knew I was a sinner, and I knew I deserved hell. I maybe remember that point more than any other point. That's what I deserved. Number three, did you believe that Jesus was the only way to heaven? That he died on the cross to pay the full payment of your salvation? That he died, was buried, and rose again to be the full payment of your salvation. And then lastly is this, did you simply by faith ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you? Did you just simply ask him to save you? Many times people make salvation too complicated. Well, what did I feel and what did I think and did I say the right words and what about? Did you simply realize I was a sinner? I deserve the punishment of hell. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And I understood if I asked Jesus to come to my heart, I'd be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know 100% sure you're saved? Or is there a doubt? Is there a question? Too many times people have sat in church for years or even decades and have put off that moment of salvation and thought, I'll figure it out someday. Don't chance your salvation and wait for another day. Head bowed and eyes closed. Please, no one looking around. Let's begin the invitation time.